this market isn't over. This isn't, you know, the crypto bros Bitcoin bull market where you don't even get, you know, 6 months of favorable movement and you have a couple of shocks and awes in here. This is a far bigger cyclical.
You're watching Silver News Daily. Subscribe for more.
Silver just did something that has investors either celebrating or making the biggest mistake of this entire cycle. In the last few weeks, we've watched silver surge aggressively, pushing toward that psychological $100 level, consolidating just beneath it, shaking out the weak hands, and creating exactly the kind of emotional chaos that marks the early stages of something far bigger. Some are selling. Some are taking profits. Some are saying this has gone too far, too fast. But according to Francis Hunt, this is not the end of a move. It's not even close. He's been crystal clear about this. This is not some crypto-style bull market where you get 6 months of euphoria followed by a brutal collapse. This isn't a meme-driven spike built on hype and leverage. What we are witnessing, in his view, is a structural, multi-decade cyclical event. The kind of event that only comes around once in a generation. The kind of event that transfers wealth from the impatient to the disciplined. And here's where it gets uncomfortable. Because right now, many of the people selling silver aren't doing it because they think the move is over. They're doing it because they need to. Cost of living pressures, inflation, survival. And that's the tragedy of late-stage monetary cycles. The very asset that could protect you is the one you feel forced to part with. But Hunt warns about something even more dangerous than financial pressure. He talks about the psychology of momentum, the dopamine hit of seeing price rise, the temptation to lock it in too early. Because in powerful parabolic markets, the majority of gains don't come gradually. They come violently in the final stretch. And if he's right, then what we've seen so far is just the warm-up. The real question is this: are we looking at a short-term top, or are we standing at the front edge of a move that could redefine what investors think is even possible for silver?
Real, for me, generational wealth being made and furthermore to be promised. I fear, and having spoken to you and you were mentioning, you know, anywhere between 35 and 50% of the sellers are actually potentially needing to take profit for cost of living based reasons. I would certainly suggest that might be the only sensible reason. If you are in silver and you've done well, I want to highlight the Hunt's law of parabola. And that says, you know, 75 to 80% of your gains comes in the last 10, 15% of the move. So if you're doing great now, trust me, you're going to be doing unbelievably well in that final part of the move, providing you don't get completely dopamined up by momentum, which is a crazy old drug of its own. But this is a four-digit move for us. We've spoken about the localized high of $333 that you might get a bit of chop and churn around there, but then go onwards. And our exit strategy is based off the gold-silver ratio because we're expecting such high degrees of outperformance. So for me, more to come. However, nothing goes up in straight lines. And we did cross a couple of key technical levels. I'm wondering, there's a couple of big levels here, Elijah. We've got 5K looming on gold and we've got 100K looming on silver. And I'm wondering if, for headline reasons, there might be a little bit more drama in between now and the actual running of that my $5,100 level for silver, which, by the way, puts us very close to the 50 gold-silver ratio, which is a separate discussion, but I'm sure you'll take me there once I've completed my opening comment.
Francis Hunt draws a very sharp distinction between what we're seeing in silver and the kind of speculative manias most investors are used to. He's not comparing this to Bitcoin ripping higher for a few euphoric months before collapsing 60%. He's not framing this as a fast-money trade driven by social media hype and leveraged gamblers. In his words, this is a far bigger cyclical event, and that difference changes everything. Because short-term speculative cycles burn hot and die fast. They are fueled by narrative, liquidity injections, and momentum chasers. They spike violently, correct violently, and leave behind a trail of late entrants who confused volatility for structural change. But what Hunt is describing is something far slower in its construction and far more powerful in its release. He sees this as the culmination of decades of monetary distortion, decades of currency debasement, decades of underpricing a strategic metal that sits at the intersection of money and industry. This is not a six-month phenomenon. This is not even a five-year story. In his framework, we are talking about a structure that has been forming for over half a century. That's why he pushes back on the idea that this surge is too much, too fast. From his perspective, silver has actually been late. It has lagged. It has underperformed. It has frustrated investors for years while gold steadily marched higher. And now that silver is finally accelerating, it feels extreme only because people have grown used to its suppression. But structural cycles don't behave like speculative bubbles. They don't end just because price doubles. They end when the macro imbalances that created them are resolved. And right now, nothing about the global monetary system suggests resolution. Debt levels are still exploding. Governments are still trapped between inflation and recession. Real yields remain unstable. And fiat confidence continues to erode slowly but relentlessly. In that environment, a breakout in silver is not a blow-off top. It's a signal. A signal that capital is beginning to move from paper promises into tangible assets. And if this truly is a multi-decade cyclical shift, then what most people are calling the rally may actually be the early acceleration phase of something much larger.
What are you looking at here? It is a silver chart, but not as you're used to seeing it. It's a silver chart adjusted for the CPI inflation. I don't agree with the numbers. I think they're grossly overstated. I think it's like labor, understate, my apologies. Let me re-say. The labor numbers are overstated. They're worse than people think they are. And the inflation numbers are understated. But anyway, if we debase silver's price performance, you've actually only recently taken the 2011 high on allowing for the all urban CPI rates. So that brings things looking far more less extreme. People are absolutely bedeviled by the scale of the move. We have, in my opinion, you know, the Gulf of Tonkin incident in 64, the entire run-up through the Vietnam War, that was huge proliferation. And I've mentioned the military-industrial complex, Vietnam, and the amount of munitions that were spent into the eventual Falkland High. That is our primary one leg up. And since then, we've done three separate impulses over a better part of 64 to 24. We're talking the better part of 60 years. We're already now 62 years into this entire structure. And we kind of broke in 24. We were highlighting that with you. We've been with your channel now quite a long time, and we continue to thank you for supporting us, and we hope our support is and our commentary is useful for your viewers. But just to put this into context, we're expecting, don't look at the number, it's not meaningful, it's divided by the inflation rate, but this is a log scale chart. It's very deceptive. If I were to just for a second just put you back on regular and show you that number, that's what I mean by the law of parabola. Okay, that's where we expect you to get. I'm going to put that back on the log scale because it's almost too big for people to conceptualize. And I'm just going to do a percentage move for between here and target. In other words, this is the outperformance we are anticipating.
There's a principle Francis Hunt talks about that most investors completely underestimate in powerful markets. He calls it the law of the parabola. And if you truly understand this concept, it changes how you look at every single price move happening right now. The law is simple in theory, but brutal in practice. In a genuine parabolic advance, somewhere between 75 and 80% of the total gains happen in the final 10 to 15% of the move itself. Think about that for a second. The majority of the wealth creation does not happen gradually over years of slow appreciation. It happens in a compressed, explosive, almost unbelievable acceleration phase right at the end. That's why parabolic markets are so psychologically difficult to hold. In the early stages, they feel boring. Then they feel exciting. Then they feel overextended. And just when most people think it has gone too far, too fast, that's when the real vertical phase begins. So when silver surges aggressively toward $100 and then consolidates, most retail investors interpret that as exhaustion. They assume the move is mature. They assume the easy money has been made. But in Hunt's framework, if this truly is the beginning of a structural breakout, then what we've seen so far may only represent the runway being cleared. He warns about dopamine, that rush of seeing your position up 50%, 100%, even more. The temptation to cash out and feel smart. The desire to be able to say you called the top, but parabolic markets punish premature celebration. They shake out the impatient just before the acceleration phase that defines the cycle. And this is where discipline becomes everything. Because if 75 to 80% of gains really do occur in the final stretch, then exiting during the early momentum phase can mean missing the majority of the wealth transfer, missing the hockey stick portion of the chart, missing the part that looks impossible until it's already happened. If silver is in the early to mid stages of a parabolic advance, then the most dramatic price action is not behind us. It's ahead.
For silver against the inflationary statistics that you are given for all urban people. And that's still a further 692%. If we just leave it at 700%, we actually expect outperformance. You don't stop at the purple line. So if we just say 700% plus, that is 8 times against an inflation number as well. So it's not against a fixed level line that is the dollar, against an inflation number. And we spoke, so please, unless you really have to, try avoid selling your silver, is my message to all Americans. I want to see you survive this. I want to see you thrive through this. Your silver is your friend. He's going to continue to be your friend. And the biggest gifts come at the end. Trading is a hockey stick career. I'm lucky to have made it across the desert to the hockey stick part. And investing in silver is also a hockey stick event. There's a lot of desert walking and then suddenly manna from heavens, you know, biblical, I'll get biblical on you. It doesn't stop raining manna on you in the end. So that is one thought I'll leave you with. And I'll go over to the gold silver ratio, which was actually on your, regarding your question, and show you an interesting point as well there. Let's take the gold silver ratio. These are actually weighted candles. So you'll see they're different thickness. This illustrates the amount of volume that is behind something. So it's not a schizophrenic chart of any kind. It is an illustrator of volume. And I'm going to just take some drawing tools off that and show you that we actually had a breakdown here. We kind of a little bit missed this opportunity. So there was a gold overperformance spell just recently in the last couple of days where silver's been a little bit more muted. And that probably comes out of, I'm going to drop to 8 hours just to get a little bit more detail on the day, because I really want to show you this. That comes out of a continuation pattern to the downside. So you may recall, Elijah, we said, when you leave our orange box, which was the 74 value, you should primarily stack silver all the way down. So previously, when we were staying in the containment zone, keep having a 50-50 a little of gold and silver, and then you pivot primarily silver. That is our counsel to ourselves. I'm not regulated to advise you, but that's the take we had and what we gave to our community. If I drop down one more time frame, I just want to get the 4 hour. I think that will be the best. There was a real little opportunity that provided a little bit of trading luck for us. That was kind of on the taking here. We talk about this as a continuation pattern over here on the gold silver ratio. This was in and around the 58s, 59s. You'll see that value. And this has been a silver outperformance period. So you project this amplitude down. This is HVF method. That's part of our communities. And you make that. And it gave a target of 50. It was
now here's where Francis Hunt completely reframes the narrative around silver being overextended. Because when most people pull up a standard price chart, all they see is a massive move. They see vertical candles. They see momentum. They see something that feels unsustainable. But Hunt does something different. He adjusts silver for inflation. When you look at silver through a CPI-adjusted lens, the story changes dramatically. In nominal terms, yes, we're pushing into territory that feels historic. But in real terms, accounting for the erosion of purchasing power over the last decade, silver has only recently reclaimed its 2011 high. Let that sink in. After all this volatility, all this drama, all this time, silver has only just begun to break beyond where it stood over a decade ago in inflation-adjusted terms. And that's with official CPI numbers, which many argue understate the true rate of inflation. If inflation has been consistently higher than reported, then real purchasing power erosion has been even more severe, meaning silver's new highs are even less extreme than they appear on the surface. This is critical because perception drives behavior. When investors believe something is historically stretched, they sell. But when you adjust for currency debasement and see that silver is merely beginning to escape a decade-long real stagnation, the psychology shifts. What looks like a blow-off top in nominal dollars may actually be the first meaningful breakout in real terms. Hunt emphasizes that log-scale charts can also deceive the eye. On a linear scale, the projected move ahead looks almost incomprehensible. The slope becomes so steep it feels unrealistic. But structurally, when you analyze percentage moves relative to long-term basing patterns, the projected expansion isn't fantasy. It's proportionate to the size of the consolidation that preceded it. And this is where many investors get fooled. They mistake nominal price milestones for true value expansion. But if the currency itself has been quietly losing purchasing power year after year, then silver rising sharply isn't excess. It's repricing. It's catching up. In Hunt's view, once you strip away the illusion created by depreciating fiat, silver doesn't look overdone. It looks like it has just stepped through the gate.
Just before we get going, we just launched the official Silver News Daily Telegram. To kick things off, we're running a 10-ounce silver giveaway. Yes, real physical silver, not a voucher, not digital credits, actual bullion. This Telegram will be our new home for real-time silver discussions, market insights, collection picks, and everything precious metals. It's where the community truly comes alive. Here's how to enter the 10-ounce silver giveaway. Be subscribed to Silver News Daily on YouTube. Turn on the notification bell. Comment 10-ounce giveaway on 3 separate videos. Be an active member of the Telegram group and say hi. Once we hit 500 active Telegram members, we'll pick one lucky winner to receive 10 ounces of silver shipped directly to you. So get in early, stay active.
Amazing out was just through the 50 mark, bang, right there. And what was interesting is that since the 14th, 15th, you'll see the date here, beginning of the 14th, late 14th, the 15th, the 16th, silver hasn't got away from gold. In fact, you've had these pushbacks here, here, and here, and actually gold has been the better mover. Now, as someone who's managing a portfolio of open trades as well as investment, it was a great time to have a gold in my blotters as longs. And those have shocked me with their overperformance. And then I came and looked at the gold silver ratio and I said, yeah, it was warning us that we let go of the 58, which is just sub 60, and we've dropped all the way to the 50 level. We're now at about 51.5. And that is, once you make a target, typically you get pushback and you fail to make any new ground. And this is illustrating. And this is very short time frame, by the way, but we're able to maximize our wealth. We've done exceedingly well this year and last year as trading as well as investing. We turn that profit into stack. And this is one of the examples of how you could have biased for gold during this period and just taken some of the green out of your accounts for your silver entries that we've been enjoying all the way down here in the gold silver ratio. So we are actually in a little bit of a holding period in and around the 49.5 through to the 52s, 53s on the gold-silver ratio. And we might pause here a bit. So gold has overperformed. Silver slightly during the spell. Overall, we're going in staircases down. This was another period where you had some gold overperformance. So let me just illustrate it. When you were coming down from the 60s, right up at 70 and down, you had a spell here where the gold fought back a little bit. And those little spells can be put. But in the long run, this is going lower. Gold-silver ratio, single digits for us. Single digits, and you may have a shocking spike on overreaction for a short spell that can go even deeper than the 9.9s that single digits represents. So that's Golden's trading with the gold and silver ratio. And we've got so much more to come, which just tells you this market isn't over. This isn't, you know, the crypto bros Bitcoin bull market where you don't even get, 6 months of favorable movement and you have a couple of shocks and awes in here. This is a far bigger cyclical event. And you can see we've come from 107. And it's good to have these pushbacks because it allows us to reload on silver. And it also means we don't get to that single digit too soon. I don't want it to happen too soon. I'm enjoying the ride. I like the setups and getting back. But this has been very, very accelerative, this spell. Since we let go around 81 over here, and we'd given you a level of 74, this is just stack silver time. But we're just getting that little pushback. Final word before I hand back to you, because I've gone long form on you, is platinum is the one that needs to really play catch up, and I think we have the setup for it. So let me know if you'd like me to take you into those waters.
To really understand why Francis Hunt believes this is generational, you have to zoom out further than most investors are comfortable going. Not 5 years, not 10 years. We're talking about a structure that stretches back over 60 years. He traces this move all the way back to the 1960s, the Gulf of Tonkin era, the Vietnam War buildup. Massive military spending, monetary expansion, the beginning stages of a system that increasingly relied on credit creation and currency debasement to fund geopolitical ambition. That period marked the ignition of a long-term inflationary arc, and silver responded with its first major impulse leg higher. From there, what followed wasn't a straight line. It was a series of enormous expansions and contractions, the 1980 spike, the 2011 surge, each one powerful, each one dramatic. But when you step back and look at the full structure, those weren't isolated bubbles. They were impulses within a much larger pattern that has been building for over six decades. And here's what makes 2024 and beyond so important in Hunt's framework. That massive, multi-decade structure has now broken. Not in a small way, not on a minor time frame, on a generational scale. The kind of breakout that technicians wait entire careers to see. For over 60 years, silver has been carving out a complex base relative to inflation, relative to monetary expansion, relative to global debt accumulation. And when a base that large resolves, the resulting move is rarely modest. The longer the compression, the more violent the expansion. This is why he doesn't treat this as a routine bull market. This isn't just another swing cycle within a broader sideways range. This is the resolution of a structure that has contained silver since the late 20th century. And when something that old gives way, it doesn't whisper. It roars. If this breakout truly represents the completion of a 60-year compression phase, then what we are witnessing is not a peak. It's the unlocking of stored pressure that has been building for generations.
I mean, I'll use my broker's platform for this, so just so that you can see we really trade and we do entries. We've got ourselves a very nice upside setup with this. I'm going to drop the time frames. Daily is a bit big, but platinum has lagged a tiny bit. I like to say as a joke, white metals matter, because it's provocative, but I don't mean anything by it, but a bit of fun. But they are matching now over the yellow man. We've just had a good spell of our gold, the king fiat. And I think, we're going to have platinum outperforming, and we've been stacking entries. So you can see from a trading perspective, we've been stacking entries immensely here. All my stops are now in there. Couple of extra late ones. They're all now in the money as we're breaking out, even these not so great entries. Stop losses here. We've got an upside HVF structure, and we are looking for the foothills of 2900, which is also many people talking about $100 silver, 5,000 gold. Well, we're going to be knocking soon on 3,000 platinum. And in my view, by the time all of this is said, done, bar the shouting, and I'm sitting in South Africa right now with the Chapman's Peak, with one of the most classic drives in the world, in the country that delivers about 85% of platinum for the entire world, and such a rare metal, it's 16.6 gold ounces for every platinum ounce, and then you can go, another 6.9 times for silver. It's harder than gold. I point out that the anniversary Rolex Daytona, which was a 2015, is done in platinum, and it's one of the most valuable and was the most sought after. Limited, harder, doesn't scratch like the soft golds do, and doesn't tarnish like silver. This is a spectacular metal, and people are sleeping on the fact that this guy is your cheap gold. You can still, the one problem with silver, because of, dare I say, the low price at present, no one feels it's a low price. I can tell you it is. It's going a lot higher, but it takes a lot of space and it's a lot of weight. If you're having problems with storage and you want personal stack, the other white metal, don't look no further. And in the States, where most of your audience is, there's no VAT on that. You've got to remember the Europeans and many nations are paying 20%, 14%, 50% nation VATs on that because it's got an industrial classification, kind of a bit like silver. You are very fortunate in America. You should be gobbling this stuff down. So let me show you that target in the drawer and then hand back to you. We've got the drawing tool. This is why our trades are the way they are. I'm actually working on a new release for this. And I mean, this is a unique opportunity, what we're doing to maximize your wealth by using judicious leverage with stops. All of these losses are quite clear. These orange tags, how much I will lose. You can have managed losses and you can build a real opportunity. Now, it's not for everyone. We train, we have course material, But this is a unique opportunity. We are in bull market with bull market continuation. And the targets here, you'll see there's a dark purple line. All my take profits are sitting in there for all the various different entries. And we're looking forward to hopefully platinum delivering that. And as we are speaking, funny enough, after this hammer here, which is quite a big rejection of the lows and a turnaround, we might just be about to make since 2011, new highs. Platinum is the only metal that hasn't made absolute new highs, by the way, and that's because of the suppression of palladium during the green agenda and ESG. You've got to look at platinum group metals as a collective, and rhodium and platinum, palladium got all the love because platinum was already relatively expensive during that time. Anyway, let me hand back to you.
Now, this is where the shift becomes tactical, not just structural. Because while the 60-year breakout sets the stage, the gold-to-silver ratio tells you when silver begins to dominate. And according to Francis Hunt, that shift is already underway. For years, the ratio hovered in elevated territory. 70s, 80s, even higher during crisis moments. And Hunt's approach was clear. As long as the ratio stayed within that containment zone, you held a balanced allocation. But the moment it broke decisively lower, that was the signal. That was the pivot. That was when silver begins to outperform gold in a meaningful way. And that breakdown happened. When the ratio moved from the mid to high 70s and began accelerating downward toward the 50s, it wasn't just a number shifting on a chart. It was a regime change. It signaled that capital was no longer merely seeking safety in gold. It was now rotating into silver for performance. Think about what that means. Gold is the monetary anchor. It moves first. It establishes the macro direction. But silver is the accelerator. When the ratio compresses from 70 down toward 50, silver is outperforming aggressively. And historically, those compression phases can unfold with shocking speed. There was even a recent moment where gold briefly outperformed again, causing some hesitation. But in Hunt's framework, that kind of short-term pushback is normal. After a strong ratio breakdown, you often get a reflex rally. A pause. A small retracement. But unless the ratio reclaims those broken levels convincingly, the dominant trend remains silver outperformance. And here's why the 50 level matters so much. It's not arbitrary. It represents a historical equilibrium zone where silver begins to assert real relative strength. When the ratio compresses toward that level after breaking down from higher ranges, it confirms that the outperformance phase is not theoretical. It's active. So while many investors are staring at silver's absolute price, Hunt is watching the relationship. Because when silver starts gaining ground on gold in a sustained way, that's when the parabolic phase tends to develop momentum. And if this ratio compression continues, then the real story isn't just silver rising. It's silver outperforming. And that's when moves stop looking linear and start looking exponential.
Well, the detractors say it's not officially historically a monetary metal. They'll say whilst gold and silver was. We're talking about medieval times, gold and silver were known and accepted. Platinum is actually such a new metal that it doesn't have medieval history. In fact, it's only really people started to understand it in, you know, coming into the 60s. So it is super rare, super unique, tough. Much tougher, as I've mentioned, than gold, much scarcer, and it's really only Russia and South Africa that pulls it out the ground. If you add Russia and you get another 11% on top of South Africa, and then there's just a smattering of slices, you know, Canada, tiny bit US, this is a very easy, it's cheap gold for me, truly it is. And I want to highlight that if we do a gold or a silver versus platinum, you have this long falling wedge technical structure that I've typically drawn before, which was the palladium suppression period. The interesting part is palladium is now in a similar setup as platinum and is not far behind it, is already in the, you know, the mid-teens in terms of its value. And if you want, I can pull up that chart and is in a similar setup. It is behind platinum. Platinum's more moved ahead. Platinum is the king of the platinum group metals. Don't get me wrong. But when it was able to be substituted, you had an era of relative suppression and diesel engines were being cancelled. And then they could use palladium in the normal ice, petrol, gas, as you would call it, and then rolling into the batteries. As that gets rolled back, there's other uses for platinum that are coming out. And now there's no substitution premium, not significant, that it validates the suppression on platinum price. I think the one thing that kept it has now been removed. And it's just people recognizing its scarcity for it to become a monetary metal all over for the first time, whilst the others are proven. I'm quite happy to take that risk because of its unique properties and absolute scarcity.
When Francis Hunt focuses on the move toward the 50 gold to silver ratio, he isn't looking at it as a casual milestone. He sees it as a pressure point, a level that historically marks the transition from steady outperformance into something far more aggressive. Because once the ratio breaks down from the 70s and begins living in the 50s, something psychological shifts in the market. Investors stop viewing silver as the neglected little brother of gold. They begin to see it as the performance metal, the leverage play, the asset that doesn't just preserve wealth, but multiplies it during monetary dislocation. The drop toward 50 is not the endgame in his framework. It's confirmation. It's proof that the outperformance thesis is active. And here's what makes that so important. When you project prior ratio compressions historically, the move rarely stops neatly at round numbers. It often overshoots. It accelerates. It squeezes late positioning. Now think about the math behind that. If gold is approaching major psychological milestones like $5,000, and the ratio compresses toward 50 or even lower, silver doesn't just rise incrementally. It explodes higher relative to gold's move. The compression acts like a multiplier, and we've already seen how sensitive this relationship is. There was that short-term phase where gold began to outperform slightly, causing hesitation among silver holders. But that reflex rally in the ratio didn't invalidate the broader breakdown. It simply demonstrated how volatile these transition periods can be. The real signal was the structural shift from the containment zone in the 70s down toward the 50s. That was the pivot. What Hunt watches closely now is whether the ratio stabilizes above 50 or slices through it. Because if it slices through with conviction, history suggests we enter a period where silver's gains become disproportionate, where percentage moves widen dramatically, where volatility increases. And here's the critical point. Most retail investors anchor to absolute price levels. They fixate on whether silver is at 90 or 100. But the ratio tells a deeper story. It reveals relative strength. It reveals capital rotation. It reveals when silver is no longer following gold quietly, but sprinting ahead. If the ratio continues compressing and fails to reclaim higher containment levels, then the market is signaling that silver's role in this cycle is not secondary. It's dominant. And dominance in a precious metals bull market is where the parabolic phase is born.
We have to accept that silver is still more volatile generally than gold. That's going to remain the case. But here's my take relative to 80 and 2011, the 2 years you mentioned. This is going to be a far larger move in nominal terms, the dollar, and it's going to be far more sustained at its previous highs move. In other words, even after whatever turns out to be a pullback and setup will be sustained at a far larger period. So people's ability to time and exit will maybe not be as critical. I still think with the volatility, it helps to have technical analysis, and that's why I'm in here. But nonetheless, you're not going to get the complete washout, but down to $4 that you had post the 50 run in 1980, for example. And here's my reasons why. The 1980 run had speculator, my namesake, by the way, Bunker Hunt's chasing up the silver market. So there was a degree of cornering, but there was supply, and they chased it and they were stacking. And once they got broken, that supply came back in. This is not, and this is the irony, you've actually had a lot of margin increases recently, and you've got to understand the difference between what's driving the move. Is it a horde of retail traders with too much leverage forcing a short squeeze by charging in FOMO buy? Or is it a shortage of actual silver above ground and industrial businesses that absolutely must have silver taking delivery on a far grander scale, concerned about their ability to control and have inventory of an absolutely non-negotiable input, such as in your device, how many ounces silver. Now, you're knocking out a few hundred thousand, going on millions of Samsungs of many different models. You can't not have the device. And as a percentage of cost, it's still not huge on the actual device cost, but you have to have it, even if you're paying five times for it. And, you know, five times the cost of the silver in this device, okay, the device goes up 20%. People will have to eat that. That'll be called inflation. But in fact, it's symbolic of all the debasement of fiat currency, its buying power, and the fact that we're now getting a violent re-rating for multi-decade suppression and a shortfall. So whilst I say gold has is a turbocharged vehicle because it's of the inverse parabola of debasement of all fiat currencies that have been synchronized to debase, although the gold still, although the dollar still lost 10 or 11% to the euro last year and was one of the worst.
Now we have to talk about the headline numbers, the psychological barriers, the levels that attract media frenzy, retail euphoria, and institutional hesitation all at once. $5,000 gold, $100 silver. These are not just technical levels, they are emotional magnets. Round numbers carry weight far beyond mathematics. They create narratives, they create doubt, they create volatility. And Francis Hunt has openly questioned whether there might be drama before those numbers are cleanly taken out. Because markets rarely allow everyone to feel comfortable at milestone levels. When silver pushes toward 100, it isn't just approaching resistance on a chart. It's approaching a number that has lived in investors' imaginations for decades. The moment price hovers near it, profit-taking increases. Sellers emerge. Media headlines scream that the move has gone too far. Analysts begin calling for corrections, and that turbulence can create the illusion of exhaustion. But here's the nuance. Psychological resistance does not equal structural failure. In fact, the stronger the structure underneath, the more violent the battle around those big round numbers tends to be. You often see sharp pullbacks, whipsaws, sudden reversals designed to shake out weak hands. And then when positioning has been cleaned out, the breakout happens with force. The same logic applies to gold at 5,000. If gold presses into that region while the gold-to-silver ratio is compressing toward 50, the interplay between the two metals becomes explosive. A modest breakout in gold combined with ratio compression can produce outsized moves in silver. So if we see volatility around 100 silver, that does not automatically signal the end of the cycle. It may signal the final preparation phase before acceleration. The market needs energy. It needs emotion. It needs participants to doubt. And nothing creates doubt like failing temporarily at a level everyone is watching. Hunt's broader point is that round numbers are milestones, not ceilings. They are checkpoints in a larger structure, and when a multi-decade breakout is unfolding, psychological barriers tend to fall not quietly, but dramatically. If silver consolidates, shakes, and builds pressure beneath 100, that may not be weakness. It may be compression. And compression, in markets like this, often precedes expansion.
The others were also losing value. You now have silver as a twin turbo. So, you know, think of the Porsche twin turbo. You've got a second turbo. Not only are you benefiting from fiat-based debasement and being a monetary metal like gold, but gold has bullion storage and plenty of supply if it were needed industrially. Silver actually has a supply deficit. There is far greater use of it. You're in negative deficit in terms of usage versus supply. And now the above ground inventory that you were eating away at is now gone. And everybody's in a mad panic to assure that at whatever price they must have. So this is not a retail leverage based crisis of a short squeeze. A bunker hunt was just a sophisticated, very rich trader investor category. And that's why the margin increases are actually counterproductive. It's an interesting point, force and beneficial for the silver price, because what it actually does is there's only so many retail traders in here. We're not a large part of it, in my opinion. And actually, the Samsungs of this world are going direct to mines to buy and to secure purchase. What's happening is the miners who manage their capital also face margin increases for selling, forward selling in the contract markets. So if you increase the costs or the tie-up of capital, you think you're reducing retail. If retail leveraged longs are not the problem, you're actually doing more damage to your price. You're actually pushing it even further because mines are saying, look, the price is moving in our favor. We have to tie up all this capital to forward sell on a short contract until we actually deliver. Why don't we just wait it out? So you're actually reducing the offer stack, which is legitimate producers that have the item and will be able to deliver it in the future. So you're getting a secondary effect that the unintended consequences is reducing supply in futures. And silver miners are saying, why tie up the capital? Market's moving in our favor. We let it run. We let it run. We can always jump in later. We're making profits. And so I actually think they're thinning the offer stack rather than reducing the bid chase stack, which is not actually the problem. So interesting theory for people to contemplate. And I think that continues to work in our favor. The fact that the usual breaks are actually accelerants this time. It's physical demand and there's no...
This is the stage of the cycle where the temptation to sell feels the most rational. Price has moved aggressively. Headlines are everywhere. Friends and family who ignored silver for years are suddenly asking about it. And when you log into your account and see gains that once felt impossible, the urge to lock them in becomes overwhelming. Francis Hunt understands that instinct. He even acknowledges that some people are selling for very real reasons. Cost of living pressures. Rising expenses. The simple reality that many households are stretched thin. If you must sell to survive, that's one thing. But what he cautions against is something far more dangerous than necessity. It's premature celebration. Because this is where the law of the parabola collides with human psychology. When you're up 50%, it feels extraordinary. When you're up 100%, it feels historic. But in genuine structural breakouts, those numbers can represent the early innings. The real acceleration phase often looks so extreme that it becomes emotionally difficult to hold through. And that's exactly why most people miss it. There's also the dopamine trap. Watching price surge triggers the same reward circuitry that fuels speculative manias. The green candles feel good, the gains feel validating. And then the market pauses. It consolidates. It pulls back slightly. Suddenly, fear replaces euphoria. Investors rush to secure profits, believing they've just witnessed the peak. But parabolic markets are notorious for shaking out participants before the vertical phase. They test conviction. They create volatility around key levels like 100 silver. They generate enough doubt to convince people that the move has already gone too far. And here's the uncomfortable truth. The majority of generational wealth in cycles like this is not made by timing every swing. It's made by holding through the turbulence when the structure remains intact. Hunt's warning is simple but powerful. If this is truly a multi-decade breakout resolving a 60-year compression, then selling simply because price has moved sharply may mean stepping off the train just before it reaches full speed.
I can't say for sure what the individual silver miners are doing and say they're not doing it at all. I would imagine that there are still some degrees of activity, but the action taken, which has typically worked, spikes the wheels of leveraged retail long traders that are actually cash traders. They're not buyers. They're not taking standing for delivery. Typically, they're trying to squeeze the price up. You had the Wall Street Bets, I think, event of a year or two ago. What it does do, it increases the cost and the capital commitment that must be held on margin by people who are selling short as well. You don't have a margin increase for just one side of the entry on the market. If it costs me 10 times more to buy a contract long in tied up margin, it costs the seller the same when he sells in the market. You don't what goes for the night goes for the day, what goes for the buyer goes for the seller. And what that means is you're actually forcing mines to tie up more capital just to do the normal hedging activities. And this might actually put them off and reduce potentially. So this is theory. I can't tell you what the miners are doing, but if I was a miner, I'd say, why do I need to do that? I'm not earning on that part of it. I don't need to forward sell. The market's moving in my favor. I don't need to have that cash and capital tied up. And if the minute I want to sell the entire year's production, I might only sell a third. So who knows what decision processes are being made by miners, but it's not going to be favorable to selling more of their future deliverable produce by increasing the cost and the capital requirements. It's like a home. It's like the home buying market. You know, if you guys are going to face 8% mortgage prices and you've got to put 40% down, what's going to happen to property prices? How many people are going to be rushing to buy? It's going to reduce the buyers in the same way. That's what it's going to do to sellers of silver who are producers. So I think there's an unintended consequence there. And I think it's all in our favor for higher prices because this is a physical delivery crisis. Not a long retail squeeze. This isn't the story of Bunker Hunt or Wall Street Bets. It's been in deficits for years. And to turn all those mines on, you know, you're talking about 15-year cycles. Things get mothballed. A lot of the produce, don't forget, is between 60 and 70% of silver is done because of copper, iron ore, zinc, gold. You can't say, hey, while you're down there, make sure you find more of the byproduct. They didn't choose that site for the byproduct. They chose it for the copper, the zinc. The geology was done with a different priority. So, you know, they will bring up what they bring up. And it's unfortunately mines that weren't invested in because of the price suppression mechanism of multi-decades that was the financialization of everything. And it comes back to our most strategic and seminal call of 2020 on the turn of the debt markets. You no longer have a perceived reserve asset in treasuries. And actually, I want to add this as a point, the 10-year popped to the upside in terms of rates. And what happened? Gold surged. It wasn't so much the silver. Why? Because people have lots of money, typically are bond portfolio people, governments, central banks, and institutions. They will have storage issues with silver. They chased gold up, which coincided with our gold-silver ratio breaking down to the downside. So there's quite a lot to absorb there. Let me hand back.
Now we arrive at the part of Francis Hunt's thesis that makes even seasoned investors uncomfortable. The four-digit silver projection. When he speaks about this being a four-digit move, he's not tossing out a sensational headline for attention. He's framing it within the logic of structure, inflation, and percentage expansion. Because when you look at the size of the base that has formed over six decades, and you measure the projected expansion relative to that base, the numbers stop looking absurd and start looking proportional. He has shown that even on an inflation-adjusted basis, the projected move from breakout levels represents hundreds of percentage points higher. 700% plus in some projections. That is not measured from the absolute bottom decades ago. That is measured from the breakout zone. And that's before factoring in potential outperformance beyond conservative targets. Now pause and think about what that means. A 7 to 8 times move, adjusted against official inflation metrics, is not just a rally. It's a revaluation. It's the market repricing silver against decades of monetary debasement. And this is where perspective matters. If gold approaches or exceeds $5,000 and the gold-to-silver ratio compresses toward 50 or lower, triple-digit silver is not the end point. It's the gateway. It's the transitional zone between disbelief and mania. Most investors cannot mentally process four-digit silver because they anchor to historical price memory. They think about $50 in 2011. They think about the spike in 1980, but those were moments within a contained system. Today's macro backdrop is radically different. Global debt is exponentially higher. Currency confidence is weaker. Monetary policy is structurally trapped. When a metal that has been suppressed within a 60-year structure finally breaks free during an era of systemic monetary strain, the repricing can be nonlinear. It doesn't climb politely. It accelerates. It overshoots. It shocks. Hunt's core message is not that silver will drift gradually into four digits over decades. It's that once the parabolic phase truly ignites, the percentage gains can compound so rapidly that what once seemed impossible becomes the new reference point. If that thesis plays out, then the debate over whether silver is expensive at 90 or 100 will look trivial in hindsight.
So I'm having a great time building wealth, and our community members are. We've actually got one individual that's wrote into us. So we didn't ask for this. We've had a lot of people coming in that they'd started with $16,000. One has run that up to $1.2 million. Pretty exceptional. I've shown my own performance recently on X and shared it in a YouTube. We've done exceedingly well by maximizing through what is a major melt-up period. Other people have turned 10 into quarter of a million quite standardly, and they've volunteered that. The key yin and yang to this is that that's great and you're making wealth, but you almost need to do that to everyone watching this. If you're not maximizing, because the fiat debasement is so extreme. And the downside of that is I don't hear people talking about banks' liquidity and viability near as much as they should, because the people that have been holding those short positions must be in immense. There has been a suppression. My overall assessment is on balance of probabilities. There's certainly been a suppression mechanism on silver, particularly, and on precious metals in general over the last 30 years. So you are going to face attack vectors such as the great taking, potential collapse, further bailouts, and we are going to have the resets. This great news, this rediscovering of truth, and I consider the monetary metals as a reestablishment of truth being forced on profligate, unsound money people that have been getting away with running something that is not really honest and has benefited them immensely. However, it is also the firing gun for a larger, much more scaled macro collapse. So you need to focus at building your wealth. You need to focus at securing it and also potentially securing your freedoms and having a footprint that is more broad, diverse-wise outside of particular jurisdictions. And the West is in the sights this time, I fear. And we're seeing the Europe takedown. They've made terrible decisions there. And I fear the hegemon of America will also be part and parcel of a massive spike in living costs, quite a lot of social unrest that's associated with that when the old norm no longer holds. And even if you are wealthy, you'll be resented for it and the attack vectors will be turned on you by media, your pet rock guys. So I predict vilification for the likes of us for protecting ourselves with sound money. This is not a truth society, even though we're seeing truth in money being reasserted now with this adjustment against the overly proliferated dollar and other fiats. So it's quite important to have a community, Elijah, that is like-minded, won't gaslight you and supportive of you. An online one that you can reach and get intelligence from all over the world. And that's what we run. Wealth building in reset times. If you wish to book a call, pop over to any of our YouTubes. The links are in there. And as you kindly said, it's The Market Sniper on YouTube and on X, The Market Sniper as well.
So when you step back and connect every piece of this together, the picture becomes very clear. This is not a short-lived spike. It is not a crypto-style burst of speculation. It is the resolution of a structure that has been building for over 60 years, fueled by relentless monetary expansion, debt saturation, and the slow erosion of fiat purchasing power. Silver has only just broken out in real terms. The gold-to-silver ratio has already shifted regime, moving from containment toward compression. Psychological barriers like $100 are being tested, not as ceilings, but as checkpoints. And according to the law of the parabola, the majority of the gains in true structural moves come at the very end, when the acceleration becomes undeniable and the crowd finally realizes what is happening. That is why Francis Hunt frames this as generational wealth territory. Not because price has already moved, but because the structure suggests it is still in motion. Not because headlines are loud, but because the macro backdrop remains unresolved. The debt has not been paid down. The currency has not been restored. The imbalances have not been corrected. If the breakout holds, if the ratio continues compressing, and if gold presses into higher psychological territory, then silver's repricing could move from impressive to historic. And when that final acceleration phase arrives, it will not wait for comfort. It will not wait for consensus. It will move when positioning is light and conviction is scarce. So the real question is not whether silver has already run. The real question is whether we are witnessing the early stages of a wealth transfer that only reveals its true magnitude in hindsight. If you want to stay ahead of these developments and follow how this structure unfolds, make sure you subscribe to the channel and stay connected with every update. And remember, this is not financial advice, and you should always speak to a professional before making any financial decisions.